ELC Radio.
Love God. Lift others.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Tina Lamone.
So this morning I wanted to speak to you about the truth versus the lie. And last Sunday, Pastor Cheeto preached about the spirit of offense and being offended and the effects of carrying an offense and not forgiving. And so this kind of follows up a little bit of that message. So it's titled The Truth versus the Lie. And I'm going to start in Romans chapter 12, verses 2 in the Amplified Version. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs. But be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what is the will of God, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect in His plan and His purpose for you. I'm going to also read the Passion Translation. It says, stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Yes, God, we thank you for your word. So what I want to talk to you this morning about is the truth versus the lie. Our reality in life does not equal the truth. And what I mean by that is, I'm going to share, you've heard my testimony, a lot of you have heard me share my testimony, but here is a little glimpse of what my reality has been. So as a child, I was abused. I was abused by my father. I was abused by my mother. And through being abused sexually by my father, my mother knew that I was being abused, and she didn't protect me. She didn't take me out of the situation. She left me there, and she chose my father over me. She chose many other things over me. So this is a picture of what my reality was. I was abused, and what that reality told me, because I was abused by my father and my mother, the ones who were supposed to love me and protect me and show me what life was about, that reality told me, you're a victim. That abuse told me, you are a victim. But the truth tells me that I am the head and not the tail. Okay? My mother knew that I was being abused. So the reality and the fact that my mom didn't protect me, she didn't take me out of that situation, told me that no one would protect me in life and that I had to protect myself to keep myself safe. But what the truth tells me is that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and that every tongue that rises up against me, that God will condemn it. That's what the truth tells me. So my mother knew she didn't protect me. What that reality told me was that I had no value and that I was not lovable. That's what that reality told me. That's what the facts told me. Those things are true things that happened. And those facts told me that I was unlovable and that I had no value. But the truth tells me that I am called by my name. And that I am the apple of His eye. And that He loved me so much that He sent His Son to die for me. Just like what Pastor Cheetah was just saying, when He hung on that cross, when He sacrificed His life, He was thinking about you. So that's what my reality told me. Those are facts. Those are true things that happened to me. Those are things that I experienced, that I was abused, that I wasn't protected, and that I felt unloved because they did not show me love. So there, what we have to understand as I explain this to you is that there is a higher level of truth than the facts of our realities. It says, do not be conformed to this world and it's superficial values. The word superficial there means surface. They're surface values. They're surface way of thinking. This, it also means not penetrating below, but only affecting the surface, having no substance, no significance, and only focusing on the appearance. It says, do not be conformed to the world and its superficial values. And the way the world thinks, and sometimes our reality, what it tells us, only deals with the appearance of things. We build our beliefs and we build the way we think only based on the appearance of things. Does that make sense to you? But the word instructs us to renew our minds. That word renewing, where it says, to renew your mind, focusing on godly values, that word renewal means repetitious rebuilding. So God is telling us to be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the repetitiously rebuilding of your mind, by focusing on godly values. The mind is the house where we hold our beliefs. Our mind is how we process. It's where we process our feelings and our emotions. And out of that comes our attitudes and our actions, which build our belief systems. Focusing on godly values is what the word tells us to do. So where do we get godly values? I just told you. Where do we get godly values? Say it out loud. The word. Yes. Only Cheeto and Norma listening. So our godly values come from the word, and we are instructed to repetitiously rebuild our minds to find God's will and perfect plan. You, without rebuilding your mind, without renewing your mind, you can discern your will for your life. You can know what your will is. You can know how you want your life to look. Without a renewed mind, I could say, no man is going to ever touch me and hurt me again. That's my will. My will is I'm never going to trust because those I've trusted have let me down. That's my will. And that's how I'm going to discern to live my life. But when my mind is renewed, I can discern God's will for my life. And God's will is not for me to live not trusting others. God's will is not for me to live believing that others are out to hurt me. God's will is not for me to feel like I am unloved. That's not God's will for me. So the Bible tells us that without renewing our mind, we can't discern God's perfect plan for us. Romans 12, 2, the Passion Translation says, stop imitating the ideals and the opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Reformation means to make changes to something with the intention of setting it back on the right path. Why do you think we need to get back on the right path? Isaiah 55, 7 says, let the wicked leave behind his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion and mercy on him. And our God, he will abundantly pardon. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Every single one of us has come into the world wicked and unrighteous. We were born with an unclean mind and an unclean life. And it wasn't until we accepted Christ, until we received him as our Savior, that we became righteous, right? Does everybody agree with me? And so we all have a need to make the choice to return to the Lord, like the scripture says. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ. Think of yourself the way Christ Jesus thinks of himself. In the Message version. And so when I tell you about my reality, when I tell you about being abused and being neglected by my mother and not being protected and not being taken out of the situation, and the way that I thought the vows that I made and the beliefs that I started to have that men wanted to hurt me and that I couldn't trust a woman to protect me, to be on my side? Do you think that that would give me the ability to think about myself the way Christ thinks about himself? Do you think that I would have the capacity and the room to think about myself the way Christ thinks about himself? That's why we need to renew our minds. So it says to think of yourself the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. So what I'm talking about here is a belief system. Our belief systems are shown through our decisions, our attitudes, our agreements, our judgments of others, our expectations of others, the vows that we make, the commitments that we make. You will find out what someone believes about life looking at those things, those areas. So our belief system, again, is made up of our decisions. It's made up of our attitudes. It's made up of our agreements, our judgments, our expectations, our vows, and our commitments. We can say that any belief that agrees with God's word, with his nature, and with his character is a godly belief. So anything that lines up with God, what his word tells us, and what his nature is, that's a godly belief. Any belief that does not agree or align with God's word is an ungodly belief. So again, going back to my reality, the facts of my life, that my parents didn't love me the way they should have. And they damaged me and taught me that I needed to protect myself. Those beliefs was part of the system that I was living my life out of. On that foundation, that kind of thinking, that kind of belief. But it was not the truth. So the unrenewed mind is a belief system that does not line up with God, his word, and character. And therefore, the unrenewed mind cannot know the will of God. So we can live our lives trying to serve the Lord, but until we renew our minds, we will not be able to discern what is God's true will for our lives and live in the truth. Because our beliefs will always bleed into what we think God wants us to do. We have beliefs about our existence. We have beliefs about our purpose. We have beliefs about our value in life. We have beliefs about our security. We have beliefs about our relationships. And unfortunately, generally, our beliefs about all these things are usually ungodly. And it's in the renewing, the repetitious rebuilding of our beliefs that they begin to change. The ungodly belief is a belief that appears to be absolutely true based on the facts of our experiences, yet are absolutely false based on God's word. And I just want you to take a moment and think about your reality. Think about your experience, the sum of your experiences that have created your belief system. And I guarantee you, if we were to sit here and go through every single one of them, it would take us years. It would take us years. So this can be a pretty overwhelming concept and an overwhelming thought to think like, wow, I have so many beliefs that do not line up with God's word. How do I change them all? And I just want to encourage you this morning to ask the Lord to give you one ungodly belief, to reveal to you, to expose to you something that you have been believing about yourself, about your life, about who God says that you are, and how it affects your relationships, how it affects your life, how it affects your attitude, how it affects your job, how it affects your family relationships, how it affects your marriage, how it affects your relationship with your children. Because there are a lot of beliefs that we have because of our realities, because of our experiences that damage our relationships, that damage our moving forward and living in a victory life. Isaiah tells us that our minds are wicked and unrighteous. It's until the coming of Christ that we are made righteous. So many of our beliefs we have about ourselves and others and God result from the ungodly and hurtful ways that we have been treated. Our hurts and our beliefs, they're intertwined. They're locked together. They work together. So the hurt must be healed so that the mind can be renewed. So we can spend time working on the beliefs and recognizing the things in our mind that do not line up with God. And we can spend time working on changing that. But until we get to the root, to our heart, where the hurt developed, and work on those things together, there won't be true freedom. So the hurt must be healed as the mind is being renewed. Until the hurt is healed, it will cry out with thoughts of denial and reasons to justify why we should not change how we believe. You know, I have had to work diligently. I have had to work so hard to renew my mind because my reality screamed at me and screams at me every day. Even in my marriage and my relationship with my kids, I've had to work so hard to renew my mind. I've had to repetitiously go before God and cry out to Him to heal my heart, to heal the hurts that were placed there by those who abandoned me and betrayed me and left me. Because if I didn't do that, I would in turn hurt my husband and my children and those people that I love. Because when we're hurt, we hurt others. When we're hurt and we believe the facts, we use those facts to build truth in our life, we hurt the people that we love. And in turn, what we become is what we hate that has been done to us. So I have had to repetitiously go before the Lord and fight for my freedom, fight for my mind to be renewed, and fight for my heart to be healed. It will cry out with thoughts of denial and reasons to justify why we should not change how we believe. It has not been an easy path for me, and it has not been a one-time occurrence. I have had to repetitiously go to God for His word and cry out for a change in my thinking. Because listen, without humbling myself and identifying these ungodly beliefs, as a hurt heart, I hurt others. And I don't want to hurt my husband's heart. I don't want to hurt my children's hearts. I don't want to hurt the hearts of my friends and those who I work and do build this church with. That's not my desire. But unless I work on renewing my mind and allowing God to heal the hearts while I'm renewing my mind, that is what's going to happen. That is what brings the offenses. That's what opens, kicks the door open and brings in a flood of offenses in your life. When we hold on to those realities, living that as our truth. Our hurts cause infections to grow inside of our minds. The belief that comes out of that hurt is like pus oozing from an infected wound. And you know when a wound is affected and it's oozing pus, if you were to wipe it off, it would go away, but then more pus would come out of it until the wound was healed, correct? You could wipe the pus away, but until you treat the wound, it's going to continue to ooze pus. That infection's going to continue to produce that heat and nastiness. Don't laugh at me. So we can wipe the pus away, but until the wound is healed, more pus will develop and seep out onto others. Last year was a very difficult year for me, and I've shared my testimony with you guys, and you've seen me have a relationship with my family and with my parents and attempt to build a healthy relationship with them, to learn how to think a different way, to forgive. And it's been a very difficult path, a difficult road. And people tell me all the time, like, I would never have imagined that you'd gone through some of the things that you've gone through because of the way you carry your life. And listen, it's not because I'm a strong person. It's not because I'm such a great woman. It's not because I'm so amazing or gracious, and I don't know. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with my Savior. It has to do with a God who loves me and who's helped me. I couldn't do this. I couldn't forgive. I still have trouble forgiving. When I think about sometimes as a mother, what my mother did to me, how she left me, and didn't protect me and then denied that, do you know how difficult that is? It makes me emotional still. And the fact that it makes me emotional still shows that there's still hurt in my heart. It's hard. And you know what? She didn't protect me. What does the superficial culture of this world tell me that I have a right to do? What does it tell me that I have a right to do? To be angry. And no one would judge me for that. Is there anyone in here that would judge me for being angry? No one would. But that's not what God's word tells me is a way to live my life. That's not the truth of what God's word. That was my reality, but that's not the truth. That's not the truth about how God created me to be, to feel like I have to protect myself and I can't trust people and then I have to be angry. That doesn't line up with God's truth. That's not a renewed mind. So the wound affects the heart and the pus affects the mind. And it seeps out onto others. So last year, it's been years of forgiving and moving on. And last year, I found out that the behaviors had continued onto other family members. So you would imagine finding this out, that this person who I had chosen to forgive and believe the best about had continued those abusive sexual behaviors onto other family members. How crushed my renewed mind felt. So I questioned and thought, well, dang, I've been working so hard to forgive, and they still didn't deserve my forgiveness. So I'm a fool. That was another reality, that I forgave, and the behaviors continued. And so my reality told me, you're a fool. You're a fool for forgiving him. You have been foolishly duped. They tricked you, and you're so dumb, you believed them. Why would you believe them? That's what my reality screamed at me last year. That's what I had to war against and fight in my heart and in my mind. And so last year, I kind of took a little bit of a step back. And you know why I decided to take a step back? Because I was hurting. And God wanted me to deal with those hurts. And so I knew that I was hurting. I knew that that infected wound was opened up and pus was coming out. And so I made a decision to step back. And here's another way you can think about it. Like, I was wounded, I was bleeding, and I didn't want to bleed out on other people. Because you know what? That happens so much. That happens a lot. Where in our relationships, because we're bleeding on the inside, we bleed all over others. And if you can have an image of that, you know, when someone offends you, back a long time ago, when someone would offend you or hurt you, or no, when you would commit a crime against someone, this is what it was. When you would commit a crime against someone and take their life, that your punishment would be that they would take that dead body and strap it to you, tie it to your body, and you would have to live carrying that dead body. That was your punishment. Can you imagine that dead body rotting and leaking and being on top of your body? When we don't renew our minds, when we don't go to Christ and allow him to heal our hearts and heal where we have been, where that pain has inflicted and come in, that's what it's like. And so for me, I had to war with and struggle last year. I had to take a step back because I knew I was hurting. It was a struggle for me to forgive again. I knew I was hurting and I didn't want to get up here and bleed on people. I didn't want to be in the front just because I'm Sergio's wife while I was bleeding and bleed on others. So this is a real thing. If it's that real for me, what's it like for you? Who are you bleeding on? Where is that pus oozing out from you? And how is it affecting the people in your life? Psalms 143 verse 7 says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up the wounds, healing their pain and comforting their sorrow. So the reality is, yes, we have pain. We have hurts that bleed and get infected and affect others, but God's word heals us. He binds up our wounds and he brings healing and he brings comfort. Our reality does not equal the truth. There is a higher level of truth than the facts of our reality. Continuing to live with a belief system that is not repetitiously being rebuilt will have damaging results on your life and on your relationships. Ungodly beliefs affect our perceptions, they affect our decisions, and they affect our actions. We use these beliefs to justify our ungodly behaviors. We make excuses, and we blame others for our behaviors so that we don't have to change. It's easier for me to go, well, my mom didn't protect me, my dad abused me, so, and he continued the abuse even after I forgive him. So that's a reason why I'm justified in believing that I don't have to forgive because they don't deserve my forgiveness. I'm justified in believing that a man wants to hurt women. I'm justified in that. So because I'm justified in that, I don't have to forgive. It's easier for me to justify my behavior so that I don't have to change. So a lot of times when we're blaming others, it's because we're not willing to change. We have to blame somebody else when we don't want to change. So we use these beliefs to justify our ungodly behavior. We make excuses. We blame others for our behavior so that we don't have to change. But God wants our minds renewed. God has given us the tools and the helper to break the effects of ungodly thinking and the hurts linked to those beliefs. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy and of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things." Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. So a godly belief is reflected in our actions. It is rooted in our hearts, and it will bear fruit and stand firm in the face of a challenge or a difficulty. That's how you know that you have renewed your mind and have taken on beliefs according to God's word, is when challenges and difficulties come. Because what our natural man does is it goes back to what we know. It goes back to what we're comfortable doing. So automatically our mind, when difficulties, when challenges come, it automatically goes back. So you know what happens when that happens, when difficulties and challenge comes? What happens is we will end up hurting the people God has sent to us today because of what others have done. We will believe things about them that are not the truth and damage them and damage the relationship. That's what happens when we don't renew our minds, when we don't invite godly beliefs and remove the ungodly belief. When God sends us people, new people to our life, misunderstandings happen, things happen. If we go back to the facts that happened to us and that belief system that we created, because of our facts, because of the hurts, we will end up hurting and believing things about people that God has sent to our life that are not true because our mind is not renewed. And so because our mind is not renewed, we are filtering everything that is happening through those past hurts, through those past beliefs, through that vow that I am never going to let another person hurt me, that no one is going to take advantage of me, that I have to protect myself. So that belief could cause me to believe that someone that God has sent to me to be my friend, to help me, to love me, to encourage me, it would cause me to believe that they do not love me, that they don't have my back, and that they want to betray me. And it could be someone that God has sent to my life. So we have to renew our minds. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says that we have the mind of Christ. That is a promise that God will give us his mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 through 24 says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires." The deceitful desires were, I'm not going to let anybody else hurt me. "To be made new in the attitude of your mind and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." God wants us to choose his truth, not exchange his truth for a lie. And so when we believe based on the hurts, when we continue to have that be our belief system, we are exchanging God's truth for a lie. And we are letting those lies be our truth. God wants us to choose his truth. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 in the Passion Translation, "For we have the living word of God, which is full of energy, like a two-mouthed sword. It will even penetrate to the very core of our being, where our soul and spirit, bone and marrow meet. It interprets and reveals the true thoughts and the secret motives of our hearts." God's word divides the truth from the lie. And so until we get into God's word and we repetitiously get into God's word, we repetitiously speak his word over our lives that says that I am the head and not the tail, that I can forgive because he's forgiven me, that I know love because he is love and he's inside of me, that I have the answer, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Until I repetitiously get into that word, my mind can't be renewed. It says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, "But we should and are morally obligated as debtors always to give thanks to God for you, believers beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit that sets you apart for God's purposes. And by your faith in the truth of God's word that leads you to spiritual maturity. Your growth, your freedom, your liberty is found in God's word. And it's found in your mouth when you come into agreement with God's word." Matthew, I'm going to close here. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 says, "I am baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for the kingdom life." The real action comes next. The main character in this drama is Jesus, and compared to him, I am a mere stagehand. Jesus will ignite the kingdom life within you, a fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He is going to clean your house. He is going to make a clean sweep of your life, and he will place everything true in its proper place before God. And everything false, he'll put out with the trash to be burned. And that is a promise that God gave to me almost 16 years ago, when I had just given birth to my son, Sergio, my first child. And I remember laying in the bed, and he was laying there next to me. And I was looking in his eyes and thinking, how, God? How can I love him? How can I do right by him? How can I teach him your love? How can I show him the truth? So much has happened to me. So much hurt. So much betrayal. And I have continued to feel alone. But God, I love him. And I want him to have a chance in the world. I want him to know who you are as a savior. I don't want him to struggle. I don't want him to question his purpose in life. I don't want him to question whether his mom and dad love him. I don't want him to question, God, are you real? And if you're real, why aren't you here for me? I'm so sorry. When I think about my children, it makes me so emotional because I want them to know God. I want them to know his freedom and his liberty, and I will give my life for it. And I looked into his eyes, and I literally had the Bible there next to me. And I was just flipping the pages. And the Bible stopped to this Matthew. And my spirit told me to read that scripture. Thank you. And I'm here asking God, how can I love my son when I'm so broken? I know you love me. That's what your word tells me. I know that. But I'm struggling, God. And I'm afraid that I'm going to let him down. And this is the scripture that God gave to me. And he promised me that he was going to change me from the inside out. It wasn't going to be a surface change. It wasn't just going to be a changing of my actions, a changing of my words. It wasn't going to be superficial. It was going to be changed from the inside out. And that if I pressed into him, that he would ignite a fire within me. And he would remove everything that was wrong. Everything that was a lie, he would expose it. And he would take it out with the trash to be burned. And that's what I needed God to do in my life. That's what I needed him to do so that I could be a mother to my children and to love them. That's what I wanted. And because I was believing the reality and the facts of my life and living as those were my truths, it was affecting who I was. And I believe that this day was the beginning for me. It was the beginning of understanding it is with the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just in a change of an action. It's not just in a changing the outward, my appearance, changing a behavior. It wasn't just in changing my behavior. It was something that needed to happen on the inside. And how would that happen? But God, go there. How could I face those moments again, but God, go there and say, daughter, you are not abandoned. You are not alone because I've been with you. I've hurt with you. I've been broken with you. I've walked with you and I understand. I know what you feel like. I know how you feel, but those feelings will not dictate who you are and who I say you are and what I say you can do with your life. God's word. When we repetitiously go to God's word, it brings healing. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. He sacrificed to set us free for abundance, not for lack, not to stay tied to the lies, not to exchange his truth for the lies and continue to live that way. We have to recognize and expose the beliefs that we have that do not line up with God's word, because those are ungodly beliefs. God wants you to live your life believing the truth and standing on the truth and having what the truth says that you can have and being who the truth says that you can be. You don't have to live thinking constantly about protecting yourself. You don't have to live constantly thinking about why people are rejecting you, because you are not rejected. You are not rejected. And there is nothing that you have to do to prove your worth and your value, because the King of Kings is your Father. And all that he is and all that he has is for you.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.